We've got the IHSA Executive Director, Craig Anderson, on the line. Craig, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to speak with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Craig, I want to start with something pretty timely. You know, Minnesota voting to let football and volleyball bring back to their state earlier this week. I guess my question from that is, you know, if the governor's office called you today and said, hey, the decision-making, we're going to give it back to you, do what you feel is best, would football, boys soccer, and volleyball be coming back at this point, or would it maybe be something that at this point we have to wait till spring still?
Yeah, you know, we'd work very closely with our board of directors to make that decision, but I think as deep as we are into the fall, it would be a challenge for our schools to reverse course rather quickly to try to get all those three fall seasons, regular season and whatever we might put together in terms of a postseason in a reasonable time frame yet this fall. There's acclimatization of athletes that is required in advance of us beginning competition. So it would be challenging. I think we definitely would bring it into consideration and let our board weigh in on that. But the challenges would be ahead of us if the timeline was right now to initiate practice and then look for competitions in the future. But, yeah, Minnesota, we've watched them carefully along with Michigan, who I believe played their first football game last Friday. So we'd, of course, love to have the opportunity. Would have loved to have it about a month ago or better. But, yeah, we're still in this window of not knowing right now.
Question in a similar vein. Let's say an effective vaccine for COVID-19 comes out by the end of the year. I know there's been some talks of a potential vaccine as early as November 1st. But how would the potential release of a vaccine affect the 2020-2021 sports calendar? Has that even really been a topic of discussion?
You know, it really hasn't at this point. I guess we, as our office and our board and our staff, and I think our membership generally remains hopeful that that could come to be, because I think it bodes well for what the future seasons we've put in place could maybe, the outcomes could be very positive. So, you know, the board hasn't taken any action about what the postseasons of future sports seasons might look like. And so, you know, if there's a vaccine and there's more opportunities for competition in our medium and high-risk sports, and then in addition, if we're able to get spectators back, you know, all the better. You know, we'll obviously we don't know what the future holds, but, you know, like I said, we're hopeful of what could come to be, but, you know, don't really know what that looks like, but would hope that opportunities for kids remain yet this school year so that they could experience competition in their seasons.
The question that I've heard from most everywhere from around the state, before we started recording, you know, I told you I'm from Bloomington, actually, and then I've got relationships up in the upper part of the state as well, but just not in Southern Illinois have I heard it. Why can the IHSA not just take that decision-making back and make the decision without the Illinois and IDPH? The big talking point has been the past few weeks, you know, that letter you sent to Jesse Ruiz asking for control of decision-making back. People bring up that point that IHSA isn't really an extension of the government, as it's just a nonprofit organization. And so they say, why not just make the decision yourselves? Why is it not that simple?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and one, of course, we've gotten often in this time. And so I guess a couple different angles related to that. First, while we are a non-for-profit, and we are governed by our member schools, we're generally have of our membership, at least three quarters, maybe a little more of our membership are public schools. And so our public schools receive state aid. They have oversight by the Illinois State Board of Education, which is a generally a governmental office. And so, you know, I think it behooves us and our board generally to take information as it's provided to us from departments of public health and the governor's office as to what is in the best interest of our state and our students and obviously the families that the students go home to. So in that sense, you know, I think we're generally obligated, and it's a model that we've, since the pandemic hit, You know, we are listening to the medical experts as we transition back in July, and so to me, that really is the safest way for us to move forward. I recognize the desire for many to want us to, quote, go it alone, away from the direction of IDPH or the governor's office, but I think that puts our schools in particular in a very challenging position, conflicted position potentially, as to they have some guidance, again, from the State Board of Education, and then, you know, as an association, maybe we're recommending something differently. So navigating that is a challenge. You know, at the end of the day, our board of directors made up of our member school principals are going to be the ones guiding us in the decision-making of whether or not we would take a step and go it alone. But that kind of lays out the challenges that we face as we consider that possibility. But, you know, as we talk about other states, and we often have done that, the model that we're using in using the guidance of statewide Department of Public Health and the governor's office are exactly the models that are been happening, as far as I'm familiar with other states within the Midwest, where Michigan moved back to some football. That was a result of their governor giving some executive orders that permitted that, much like Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, you know, generally our surrounding states, that's been the case.
Now, I want to shift focus for a moment to basketball. I've talked to quite a few basketball coaches in our region. They've all said that if this regulation that the governor put out about masks being required during activity extends into the season, they're just not really sure how they're going to be able to realistically play games with their student athletes having to run up and down the court with a mask on for 40 minutes. What are you saying to concerns about players wearing face masks in a sport that is anaerobic down to its core?
Yeah, it's a challenge. Yeah, there's no question. You know, I think as a state, we've gotten more, I'll say, comfortable with face coverings, though not likely in an anaerobic situation like you mentioned. While presently, if our schools are engaged in contact days for basketball inside, they are required to wear a face covering. So we haven't gotten any feedback. While I totally understand the desire and cautiousness of players, coaches, schools in requiring that of their students, that's a discussion that I think will be ongoing as we hopefully are able to transition back to competing in basketball. That's the face covering piece is something that we can bring up and, you know, hopefully negotiate with the Department of Public Health and the governor's office as we go forward. So I totally understand the concern, and I have had many of those myself as I have a son who plays three sports, one of which is basketball. And when he was, even during the summer, the thought of him knowing the way he competes, seeing him or thinking about him wearing a face covering as he competes in basketball was concerning of me. So I get it. I understand the coach's positions on it. And like I said, I hope that's a discussion we can have down the road when we do, in fact, get the opportunity to play basketball in the winter.
I know the board heard a presentation about a shot clock possibly being added to the sport. What is your feelings about adding that aspect to the game? I know the National Federation of State High School Associations had been considering that earlier this year even to begin with, and so it might be coming one way or another either way, but could I just say maybe get out in front of NFHS on it?
So we could, yeah, it could be by the direction of our board to just go away from National Federation rules in the sport of basketball and add something like the shot clock. In our history, I don't know that we've done that. We've generally fallen in line with the National Federation rules for all sports that they provide the rules for high school sport competition. So it would be a shift for our board to take that action, but you know, the coaches that put that together did a great job of presenting. I think while the board took no action at this time, there's a general consensus that they'd like to see us as an association pursue with the National Federation the possibilities of, you know, an ability for states to adopt within the playing rules of basketball, possibly allow it to become a state adoption. There's a number of, quote, rules that exist. One would be, you know, the fourth quarter running clock rule that's up to different states to adopt, and wondered about that possibility. Or if in fact, it would be time at which nationally the Federation would adopt a shot clock. So that's really the pursuit that our board had kind of guided us on. You know, I understand the position and the idea of getting the game closer to the college type of play, but I also understand it from a cost perspective from our schools and respect, you know, the concerns of our administrators, superintendents in particular, with the added cost to install or you know, pay for and then install shot clocks, and then beyond that, you know, paying an additional person to serve on the bench crew to run it. So a lot of those things would have to be played out and compromised with our schools. But I'm sure the discussion will continue, which is great. You know, the basketball coaches had a little time on their hands over the spring, and so it allowed them to organize a little bit related to this. So that discussion will occur. I think our hope is that discussion will occur more with the NFHS, and we'll see where that plays out.
You know, at that board meeting that that presentation was seen at, we also saw spring sports get 2 weeks added on. I know a lot of the athletes and coaches in those sports were happy to see that because they felt they were getting the short end of the stick, if you will, before that decision came. Just what went into the decision to give those sports a few more weeks?
Yeah, I think when we made our decision in July and established the seasons, you know, we kind of recognized and we were quick to get notification from a number of constituents that we really were a little short-sighted with that time schedule. So the board recognized that, and they felt like in order for our schools to prepare for an earlier start it would in their scheduling, that it would be better to let them know sooner rather than later. So it's just, like you said, a matter of creating some equality with the sports season's timeline. And a number of the sports that are going to be played in this spring, we're hopeful that they'll, being low-risk sports, and it, for the most part, lacrosse that's in the spring is still a high-risk sport, but most of them, baseball, softball, track and field, can be conducted as low-risk, and we're pretty much, unless we would see an incredible spike, which we hope doesn't happen at any point, when we get to that summer season where they're, those are located now, that there'll be some opportunity, and likewise with the additional weeks, we modified the weekly limitation, and now baseball, softball can kind of schedule as they have done in the past to meet their needs. And if they would get some weather delays, that they could make up some games and have, you know, more than two games in a week. So I think all those, that action by the board was all in good faith to that group, particularly the spring sports, which lost out their entire seasons last year, unfortunately.
Football is the high-risk sport that gets the most spotlight, Craig, but sports like wrestling, cheerleading, and dance are also designated as such. Lacrosse for schools further up north from the Southern Illinois region, since we really don't have any of that down here. But wrestling, cheer, dance, all that coming up here with the winter season is just a few weeks away, really. Those three coming up on the winter seasons here in just a few months, how bleak is the outlook for those sports?
Well, yeah, it's going to be tough knowing right now where we've been positioned with our, you know, the medium risk sports like volleyball and soccer being unable to be played. So those that are high risk coming up into the winter, wrestling in particular will be a challenge. I think there are some modifications to cheer and dance potentially where we could engage in some of those activities with a number of modifications to how it's conducted, eliminating a number of the partner stunts and stunts in general, and keeping social distancing on the floor. And so it would look a little different than typically what we see in some performance of both dance and cheer, but there's a possibility that that could be modified to a much lower risk. So there's a number of possibilities that could play out there. Obviously, we're hopeful that there is some movement, whether it be a result of a vaccine or whatever is able to play out here over the next couple of months, that some opportunities in those medium to high risk sports could be played out and benefit the students that really are looking forward to those opportunities.
Final topic I got for you, Craig. Fall 2021 has been on my mind some of late. Those athletes that will be competing in a fall sport this coming spring and then again in the fall of the same year, especially football, that's a short turnaround. There's a greater potential for injury and also burnout for some of those athletes in that short time frame. What advice can you give for a situation like that for athlete, coaches, and parents?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, they're going to want to be smart about, you know, the breaks that they take and make sure they take some breaks to minimize the wear and tear on their bodies, especially you mentioned the sport of football, while soccer and volleyball will be quickly repeated, as you mentioned, as we return to the fall of 21. You know, I think they just need to be mindful of the amount of wear and tear that they're having on their bodies. I know our Sports Medicine Advisory Committee is discussing this often, and they'll likely have some modifications and recommendations for our board to consider how we might modify some of the summer activities for our students to make sure that there aren't too many things that are happening in the summer that would create some additional impact of, and so minimizing what they can do is probably something we're considering over the summer to make sure that rest is maintained and that they'll be ready again in the fall. But, you know, we're the spring season now where soccer, volleyball, and football are going to fall are generally going to have shortened seasons. Acknowledging the fact that those that go deep into the playoffs would have more games, and right now it appears that our football season, as an example, is going to have fewer contests. So that helps a little bit, but you're right, there's still wear and tear on the body, and I know our students, of course, are anxious to get back, and we want to get those opportunities, but they'll have to, upon a quick return to those sports, make sure they're being smart about rest and taking care of their bodies.
I should say, Executive Director Craig Anderson, I cannot thank you enough for your time today. We know how tough the job is and appreciate everything that you've done for high school athletics in the state and the work that you've put in, especially the past 6 months. Thank you so much, Craig.
Yeah, appreciate it, and thanks, everyone, for taking the time. We're in it for the students, and I know we've heard a number of concerns about how we're going about it, but please recognize that we want the best for students and we're navigating that daily and hope to get students returned as quickly as we can.